thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Nice to see us all out this morning. Thank you to Johnny and the team for leading us in worship this morning. As Johnny has already alluded to, I do hope you all enjoyed your Christmas. I do hope that the guy in the big red suit did arrive and he brought you all that you wanted and all that you had asked for. And I hope that we're all suitably attired today with new shirts on and new boots and all the rest of it. So we see the signs of gifts being given at Christmas. And gentlemen, we've made it another year where our soap drawer and our underwear drawer has been replenished. And it was touch and go for a few at the end, you know. There were threadbare a wee bit. But we got there, gentlemen. Praise God. We have got there and everything is back to new. And as I say, I hope everyone had a good Christmas. We have been doing a series over the month of December, which was entitled The Light Breaks In. And I have been tasked with the last part of that series. And the title for it this morning, brothers and sisters, is that the light leads to joy. The light leads to joy. We celebrate that the light has come at Christmas time in the birth of Jesus Christ. In Bethlehem, I have a picture of it at the back there, an illustration. And we celebrate that Jesus is the light and he has come. Darkness is defeated. Some of the speakers over the last number of weeks, indeed even last week, Billy McCandless, who was here with us, spoke about the darkness and the light overcoming the darkness. And we've heard that over the last number of weeks. He also said a great point last week about we live in an age where even though we have the light, even though we have Jesus, and at this time of year when there's so much on our TVs and our radios alluding to the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, yet men in this world still seek the darkness. But the darkness has been overcome by the light. And we have a hope in Jesus Christ that he is alive. He has come. God has been made flesh. And Jesus has come to be born of a virgin and be a baby and grow up as a man. You've heard the phrase, a game of two halves, and I suppose in some ways what I want to speak about this morning is something similar. It's a talk, a sermon, whatever you want to call it. It's a sermon, obviously, of two halves. And I have two readings for us this morning. I want you to turn to your Bibles or your devices or whatever way you read God's Word these days. And we're going to go to the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel, first of all. 1 Samuel, and we're going to go to chapter 24. And we want to read the first seven verses of 1 Samuel chapter 24, and then we're going to go to a very well-known reading in the New Testament, which will be the book, Gospel of John. But we'll start with 1 Samuel first of all. Chapter 24 and verse 1, and it says this here. Now it happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks on the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave. And Saul went in to attend to his needs. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. Then the men of David said to him, this is the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you. And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed. Stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. I want to turn now to John chapter 1, the New Testament Gospel of John. And we're going to read again from verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word this morning. Father, we thank you again that we are found in your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you the freedom in which we have to read your word this morning. So, Father, just in the next few moments, take these few notes that have been put together, these few thoughts we believe are of you. And Lord, we just ask you would bless us, as has already been prayed this morning. However, if at the end of me, Lord, if at the end of you, Lord, oh, may it drift away into the field and into the unknown, Lord, away in the field of forgetfulness this morning. Only you we want to hear from, Lord. Only you we want to hear from. In Jesus' wonderful name we would ask it. Amen. Amen. Light breaks in. Light leads to joy. And yet, it's strange that we're going to start off this morning in a cave when we're speaking about light. So let's try and get a little bit of foundation of where I feel led to go with this morning. Let's try and get a little bit of flesh on the bones as to what my thinking was. When I started to think and consider about what I wanted to speak on here this morning, I was immediately, for some strange reason, brought to this cave. That was my first thought. I couldn't understand it, but then as the weeks went on and the days went on, things just became more and more visible for me. So we want to put a wee bit of flesh on the bone. So we want to look at this story about Saul and David. Now, Saul was after David. David was rising in popularity. Saul was, yes, he was the ruler. He was in charge. But he was losing favor with God. And God was raising up David to take over eventually from Saul. And Saul was pursuing David. He had a little bit of a brief respite because Saul's attention was distracted by the Philistines. But we read in verse 1 that Saul's return from defeating the Philistines, his attention was again turned towards David and his 600 men. We read that David had 600 men in 1 Samuel 23, verse 13, the chapter before. As we see in what we read this morning, Saul had 3,000 men. We read that in 1 Samuel 24 and 2, which we read this morning. So David and his army is greatly outnumbered by the 3,000 men of Saul. And where we interject into the story, we see this cat and mouse, almost a hide and seek game being played out in the wilderness. Saul is after David, and David and his men are trying their best to evade. And then the word comes through that David has been spotted in the wilderness of En-Gedi, and I hope I've pronounced that right. Gwen will keep me right afterwards, okay? So David and his 600 men are in this wilderness of En-Gedi, which was an oasis out in the middle of nowhere, and there was lots of caves, and all the farmers around would bring sheep and use the caves, it was a busy place, even though it was in the wilderness. And David takes refuge in one of the caves. And who should turn up completely out of the blue, as it were? Yes, I know he was seeking him, but he couldn't find him. And completely out of the blue, who turns up at the very cave that David and his men are in, but Saul? And there's a little bit of comedy starts to develop in this story. Saul needs to go to the toilet. That's what he's attending to his needs means for you younger ones, okay? Saul takes short. He needs a toilet. And he says, okay, guys, you're just going to have to wait there a wee minute. I'll have to leave you for a moment or two. I'm going to have to go and attend to my needs. And in he goes to the cave, unknowing that David is at the back with his 600 men. What are the chances? What are the chances that this could happen? That could we say that God's hand was in this? Even through making Saul needing to go to the toilet, using that God brought these two men so close in proximity, even though Saul didn't realize it. Saul went to the toilet with an audience of 601 people. Would you do that? Would I do that? And not only that, but David then, we read, sneaks forward, takes out a knife, and he cuts a wallop off his robe. He snicks a wee piece of his garment. I don't know if he done that in the process of what was going on, or whether Saul had left his robe down somewhere, but he snuck forward and cut a bit of his robe. And then, of course, David was remorseful about it. He thought, oh no, what have I done? I shouldn't have done that. It's the Lord's anointed. I shouldn't be doing that. Yet his men felt that the Lord had brought Saul into David's hand, and that this was his chance to get his revenge. But we read that David, no, guys. We're just going to stay where we're at, and we're going to allow Saul to depart. So how did I get to this process of being in a cave when we're supposed to be this morning thinking about the light breaking in, and our title is The Light Leads to Joy? I'll let you be the judge. I was thinking about this a few weeks ago, and then a man's name came into my mind. Val English. Val English spoke in this church on the 12th of October. I don't think Val English was here by chance. The story goes as to why Val was here was that Joyce had sent me a wee message to say that she had been visiting Val and had been speaking to him. He was retired and living in Ballymoney, and he was available to do some speaking if we thought, or I thought that we could use him and we would need him. I thought, well, I was trying to put the program together, as many speakers as I can get, as big a list as I could get. I was looking for, and I contacted Val and spoke to him. I knew him from many years ago. He had been here in the youth 30 years ago in our church. He was no stranger in some ways. And I spoke to Val, and Val said, yeah, I'd be delighted to come. And Val came. I don't know if you remember that morning, but Val spoke about a cave that morning as well. He spoke about being in the deep recesses of the cave, being in the middle cave, and then coming out of the cave. I had big plans for Val. I thought Val could be a regular attender and speak for me, speak for us in the church. I'd even thought that they could do Tuesday nights for us as well. He maybe could take a wee series. He was in the town. He was close by. He's retired. He was ticking all the boxes for me. I had big plans for Val. And then I got a wee text from Joyce a few weeks after that to say that he was unwell. Okay, right, he's in hospital. I'll let the dust settle. I'll maybe get a chance to go and see him and speak to him. Have a wee chat with him, see how he's doing. And then, a few weeks later after that, a few days, I don't know exactly how long it was, got the message from Joyce to say that Val had gone home to the glory. God had other ideas than what I had. But the thought process that I had behind it all, brothers and sisters, this morning was that he came and preached once, and it was about a cave. And for some reason, a cave was placed in my head when I started to think about this. So I think there's a little bit of importance about that, and I'm just wondering, brothers and sisters, if there is someone in here today. And you heard what Val said on the 12th of October. You maybe haven't acted upon it. Maybe there's more than one person. Maybe there's two or three people. Maybe us as a church, the message was for. But I pondered that. I pondered that one sermon. Then, couple of weeks ago, Holly spoke on the Sunday evening. I don't know if you were here and you remember it, but Holly spoke about going to a cave with the GB, I think it was, or the Girl Guides, or whatever group they were with. She went with a group of the GB members for a day out to a cave. And the instructor or the leader equipped them all with lights. I think she said they had like helmets or lamps on their heads, the torches and all the rest of it, and into the cave they went. And when they got down to the bottom, into the very deepest parts of the cave, the instructor, the leader, got them all around and got them to turn out their lights. And Holly said they were in complete and utter darkness. You couldn't even see your hand in front of them. A cave again being mentioned. And immediately when she said that, I'm sitting down there, it meant something different to me maybe than to other people. So let's look at the condition of the cave this morning briefly. If Saul had went into the cave and was using it as a toilet, there was every likelihood that it had been used by many people for the same purpose. This cave we find David and his men in is a cave that's a toilet. It was more than likely dirty. It was more than likely filthy. It was more than likely smelly. And it was more than likely full of flies. David, 1 Samuel 13 verse 14 says, the Lord saw a man after his own heart. That's who David was. Psalm 27 verse 1, the psalmist himself, the Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And yet, this David is in this cave in En Gedi. Not just any cave, but this particular cave. Wow. Things were tough. We're after singing about running into your loving arms, Lord, whenever troubles and trials and tribulations come. But the truth is, for many of us, brothers and sisters, we run to caves. We run and we hide in caves. And do you want to know something? Some of these caves aren't very nice. Park that for a moment or two, and we want to move on to the other passage. And we'll try and bring a wee bit of light into this situation. John chapter 1, we read these things, we read these verses. In him was life, that's Jesus. In Jesus was life, and the life, Jesus was the light of men. That's what we read in verse 4. The light shines in the darkness, verse 5. That's Jesus shines, he's this light. He shines in the darkness. John the Baptist, bear witness of this light of Jesus, that all, not just some, but that all might believe in this light. Verse 7. And then verse 9 concludes, a true light which gives light to every man. This light is Jesus, brothers and sisters. We know that. And John is bearing witness. Do we bear witness of this light? That's the challenge for all of us this morning. Do we bear witness of this light like John? Or are we hiding in caves? Matthew chapter 5 verse 16 says this here. Let your light so shine before men. It's all right when we're talking about Jesus being the light, and he's being the light of the world, and he's lighting up the world, and he's drawing all men onto him. All men, he'll be the light that they might believe in, that he'll be the one who gives light to every man. But all of a sudden, Matthew 5 and 16 says, let your light, that's personal for you and me, let your light so shine before men. So the question to us all this morning, and the challenge to us all this morning, is where are you and I found? When the question is asked, are we shining our light before men in this world? Or are we like David and we're in the cave? You see, light should lead to joy. That was the title this morning. Light leads to joy. But we've got to stop and just think to ourselves from time to time, does it really lead to joy sometimes? It should. It should. But the reality for us all sometimes, for the reality for some a lot of the time, is that this light that is Jesus, we struggle to find joy. We should be like the good and faithful servant that we see in Matthew 25, verse 23, who entered into the joy of the Lord. We want to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But if we did hear those words, would you enter into the joy of the Lord after it? Or would you just, "Oh, thanks very much, Lord. Oh, just go on being miserable." We should be entering into the joy of the Lord. Do you ask and receive that your joy may be full? John 16, verse 20. Or do we say nothing? There's something we can do about it, both brothers and sisters. If we're feeling it tough, if we're feeling it hard, there is something we can do about it. Ask and receive that your joy may be full. Do you rejoice in the Lord? Do you joy in the God of your salvation? Habakkuk 3, verse 18. That's the two questions in that verse. Do you rejoice in the Lord? Do you joy in the God of your salvation? You see, light, brothers and sisters, should lead to joy. This light that Jesus has brought, this birth, joy to the world. The Lord has come. Right, okay. See, the problem is that too many of us find ourselves all too often in the cave. You'll retort back to me, said, Mark, shush, stop. Life can be tough sometimes, and I understand that. Life can be tough. You see, there are raging souls everywhere we go. The school bully, for you younger ones. Or that teacher that you just do not get on with. I know there are no teachers in here like that, but there are teachers out there. I know there are teachers out there. I remember one or two of them. And boys, we didn't get on. But anyway, maybe they had a reason why we didn't get on, and that would have been me. The school bully, that school teacher, that ignorant work colleague. And you're walking down the school corridor, or you're walking down the work yard, or you're coming across the school playground, and you spy them, you see them coming your way, a raging soul, and your first instant is to retreat to the cave. Where's my cave? There they're coming again. I need to get out of their way. Controlling parents. There's one for you as young ones. Okay, controlling parents. Or the sports coach. Oh, yes, we only want to go and have a wee bit of football and enjoy it. We want to go and have a wee bit of hockey or netball or volleyball, whatever it is. But the sports coach is standing on the side of the pitch, jumping up and down. You're scared to receive the ball because he's going to go mad if you lose it. Raging souls are everywhere. Past failures. Yeah, past failures. They're like a raging soul as well, brothers and sisters, aren't they? Instead of running to his loving arms, as we sang this morning, we want to look to head to the cave each time it happens. And of course, I always use them. The old favorites, worry, fears, of course, our health at times. Life can be tough. Life can be tough. Sometimes it's hard to see the light, and sometimes it's hard to see the joy in life. And the reason of that, of course, is because the old enemy wants to drive you and me into the cave, and the deeper he can get us into the cave, the better for him. He wants to take your joy, and he wants to snuff out your light. Yes, life can be tough at times, brothers and sisters. But do we ask and receive that our joy may be full? Or do we forget that? That's bad enough and that's hard enough, brothers and sisters, this morning. But sometimes it can be our own attitude. Sometimes it can be our own viewpoint. Sometimes it can be our own frame of minds, our perspective, our convictions, our stances, our opinions, and our feelings sometimes, our own, that put us in the cave from time to time. And when that happens, that's a completely different matter. We ourselves sometimes can be the hardest to change. And when we're hard to change, we leave ourselves and we put ourselves. We can't point the finger at a raging soul this time. We can't blame someone else. We can't blame a situation. We can't blame something that's happening in our lives. The reason why we're in the cave is our own thoughts and processes and where we're at. We leave ourselves in the cave. I was asked through earlier on in this year, I was asked by a man who is the chairman of the GMB union in TransLink. He came to me and he says, Mark, he says, I want you to go forward to be a rep for the union. I says, right, Mickey, no probes. I says, right, I'll do it. It was very interesting going to meetings and listening to people. I was in two different courses, a reps course and a health and safety course as well. And of course, the unions and that there would be full. And the wee man that took the course was just a left-wing socialist, and he was just steeped in left-wing socialism. And I'm about as far away from that as you possibly could get. So it was interesting. He was talking to the class. There was about 15 of us, and there were some younger people involved in the class as well, who were being reps in the health service, and the teaching union was involved as well, and there was a guy from the International Airport who was there as well. And oh, he was running the Tories down. This wee man ran the Tories down, and I'm going down a political route here, bear with me for a moment or two. He ran the Tories down, and austerity, they brought in austerity, and oh, he ripped them in shreds for 3 or 4 minutes. And once he had finished, I couldn't help myself. I said, excuse me, Brian, excuse me. I said, there are a lot of young people here, and they maybe don't even remember austerity and David Cameron. I think it might be a good idea that you remind them that austerity was brought in by the Tories because of the failure of the previous Labour administration that left the country broken. Well, I says, that's why austerity was brought in. And to add insult to the wound, I said, you young people remember this, that every Labour administration has done the exact same thing in the history of the politics of this country, and they've ruined us every time. Not that the Tories would be any better at this moment in time. What I'm trying to get here, and I'm moving on to this point, is that Brian didn't really take it as I had insulted him or offended him. We sat down and we talked about it. And we talked then as a group. And I said to them, I says, the old ways and the old days that yous did in the unions was always seen as being left-wing socialist. I says, most, in fact, a lot of your union members now are right-wing capitalist. And they had a bit of a debate about that. But that was the thing. We debated it. No one was offended by anything that was said. And there were strong views on each side. And that's why I'm coming back to the attitudes. People in that room had strong attitudes, viewpoints, frame of minds, perspectives, convictions, stances, opinions, and feelings. I suddenly realised something. Do I know something, friends? You can't be offended. Nobody can offend you. Nobody can say anything or do anything that should offend you. Because everybody is entitled to their viewpoint, their stance, their frame of mind, their perspective, their opinions and their feelings. Now, you might not agree with them. I certainly don't agree with them, but they're entitled to that. You can't be offended, but people do take offence. People do take offence. You see, we need to look for compromise in everything that we do. That's the same as a group of believers. It's the same in churches. Rather than feeling that we're offended at times with things. Because do you know what? The problem is it drives us into caves. And when you're deep in a cave, you've no light. You've no joy. And we all have these different views, attitudes, frame of minds, perspectives, convictions, stances, opinions and feelings. I've run through them before. You see, we've got to move on in life. You see, in these situations in work, in these situations where these raging souls are all about, life can be tough. We've mentioned that. Things happen in our lives that can be tough. Things are said to us. We can take them to heart. We shouldn't allow ourselves to be offended. People will have different views. They will say things. They will do things that will not be in any way, shape, or form you would agree with. That can be our loved ones. They're going down. I know I've three at home and they're not going down the right road. But we love to look for compromise. Because do you see, if we don't, we either move on, we either find common ground, or we sit in the cave. We sit in the cave. And when we're sitting in the cave, brothers and sisters, our joy is gone. Our light is snuffed out. And it's the enemy. He uses all these things in our lives to do that. And do you know what the sad thing is today? Amongst many Christians and in lots of churches, sadly, caves are sitting full of Christians, of believers. We need to finish on a high. This is a wonderful portion of Scripture. I knew about it. It's been quoted many a time. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. I don't even know how you would start to explain that. The joy that was set before him to endure the cross. The cross doesn't speak of any joy. It's pain, it's suffering. And then the thought came to me. There is hope, brothers and sisters, this morning. There is hope. I've heard speakers doing series of the people around the cross. There was different people at the cross. There was the thieves in the cross. There was Mary. There was Jesus' followers. There was the Pharisees. There was the soldiers. There was Barabbas, etc., etc., etc. And I've heard preachers speaking on each of them in various times. I want to tell you something, brother, sister. It suddenly dawned on me that I was at the cross as well. And I want to say to you as well, you were at the cross as well. Every single one of you was at the cross. Do you know why? Because when he was on the cross, you were on his mind. And every single one of us was at Calvary. Every single one of us. Do you know him? Do you know Jesus? Have you come to that point in your life where you've made a decision to follow him? I want to tell you this morning, you were at Calvary because you were on his mind. Like each and every one of us. Yes, I know life can be tough. I know life can be tough. And you might feel, you're maybe saying to me this morning, Mark, yeah, I feel sometimes as if I'm in a bit of a cave. Can I say something to you, brothers and sisters, this morning? See if you're in a cave this morning. See if you find yourself in that cave. Do you see if you believe you're there? Maybe you've lost a wee bit of joy. Maybe the light's not shining as it once shone. If you're in that cave this morning, I want to remind you this morning, brothers and sisters, you're still on his mind. As much as that day in Calvary. You're still on his mind. Do you believe he sticks closer than a brother? No. Do you believe he sticks closer than a brother? Yes, amen. Do you believe that he never leaves you nor forsakes you? Well, then, if we believe that, if we believe that he sticks closer than the brother, if he believes that he never leaves us or forsakes us, then if we feel we are in that cave or going through that cave experience, he is with us. And Psalm 16, verse 11 says this here. In your presence is the fullness of joy. Cling to it this morning, brothers and sisters. Tough times do come. Tough times will come. It can be the result of somebody else. It can be the result of ourselves and how we and our attitudes are. Light should lead to joy. And I understand from times to times it can be tough and not easy. But remember this morning, church, he sticks closer than a brother. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. And when you're in his presence, no matter where you are, You may feel you're far away. You may feel that you do not know or you do not feel Jesus around you or God. Where are you, God? Where are you, Lord? Oh, I hear the voice telling me that you're here. But where are you? Sometimes, Lord, I just cannot see or feel you round about. Yet in his presence is the fullness of joy. We're going to finish this morning by singing a piece, and it goes like this here. I've got joy in the morning, joy in the evening. You keep me dancing in every season. Whatever comes tomorrow, I've got joy. Always remember that, brothers and sisters. No matter what comes, no matter where you find yourself, you have joy in Jesus this morning. Why would I not sing of your praises, even when troubles come? Why would I not worship forever, 'cause I've seen the good that you've done? And I'm not ashamed. I'm a sinner saved. No, I'm not afraid anymore. What the world calls foolish, you call freedom. I won't hold back anymore. Oh, dear soul, brothers and sisters, yes, sometimes it's not easy, but we have a joy this morning. We have a joy in our God. We have a joy in our Savior. We have a joy in our Holy Spirit. We have a joy in the fact that we can read his word. We have a joy this morning that wherever you may be, even if you feel you're in that cave, he is there with you every step of the way. And I'll finish with this. If you don't know him, come and experience real joy in his presence. Let the light break through the darkness. And let that light that is Jesus, as we read in John 1, lead you to joy. And brothers and sisters, fight against the enemy. It is a battle day and daily. Every single day, we fight against the enemy who just wants to take your joy and he wants to snuff out your light. But we say no, we stand against him. Lord, we pray and we ask that your light would be revealed unto us day and daily, that we would see it, that we would follow it, that you would direct us, Lord. You are that lamp unto our feet, we pray, and through it we have joy. In every situation, Lord, even the tough ones, we have that joy in Jesus Christ. We pray that that joy would break through in our families. We pray that that joy would break through in our loved ones, our work colleagues. Oh, as we enter 2026, if thou should tarry, Lord, may we come out of the caves and be a light in this dark world for you. That you would shine through us, Lord, that men would see. What a challenge, but what a Savior we have in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.